Do I still dream? The Hounds of Kerenos!
Had they followed him to the island, swimming across a score of miles of sea? Or had they come already to High Braesail to wait for him? He touched the ornate horn at his belt. He scanned the land for sight of them, but all he could see was a startled herd of deer, led by a great stag, bounding across a meadow and into a forest.
Do the hounds pursue the herd? No, the hounds do not appear.
He saw something else moving in a valley on the other side of the hill.
A man?
It ran in peculiar leaping bounds. It was heavy, tall, and it carried something which flashed whenever the sun's rays touched it. Coram saw a white hide in the trees some distance behind the man. Then he saw another. Then there burst from the grove a pack of some 12 great dogs with tufted red-tipped ears. The hounds pursued what was, for them, more familiar quarry than deer. The man, if man it was, began to leap up a rocky hillside, following the course of a big waterfall. But this did not deter the dogs, who kept implacably upon his track. The hillside became almost sheer, but still the man climbed, and still the dogs followed.
The hounds have such agility!
Again something bright flashed. Coram realized that the man had turned, and that the bright thing was a weapon, which he was wielding to ward off the attack. It was obvious that the dog's victim would not last for long.
I have the horn!
Hastily, he raised it to his lips. The dogs turned and began to circle, as if scenting, though their quarry was in easy sight. Then the hounds of Kerenos began to lope away.
For the first time, I have won a victory over those hellish dogs!
At his laughter, it seemed, the man on the far side of the valley looked up. Coram waved to him, but the man did not return the wave. As soon as the hounds of Kerenos had disappeared, Coram began to run down the hillside towards the one whom he had helped. It did not take him long to reach the bottom of the slope and begin to ascend the next. He recognized the waterfall and the shelf of rock where the man had turned to do battle with the hounds, but the man himself was nowhere to be seen. He had not climbed higher, that was certain, neither had he come down, Coram was sure, for he had had a fairly clear view of the waterfall as he ran. The prince in the scarlet robe brandished his horn.
Ho there! Where are you hiding, comrade?
He was answered only by the rattling of water upon rocks as the waterfall continued its progress down the cliff face. He stared about him, peering at every shadow, every rock and bush. But it was as if the man had actually become invisible.
Where are you, stranger?
It is ironic that a man should be more timid than the beasts on this island.
And then suddenly, from nowhere, he felt a heavy blow in the small of his back, and he was tumbling forward onto the heather, arms outstretched to break his fall.
Stranger, eh? Call me a stranger, eh?
Coram rolled over, trying to free his sword from its scabbard. The man who had pushed him was massive. He must have stood 8 feet high and was a good 4 feet broad at the shoulder. He wore a polished iron breastplate, polished iron greaves, inlaid with red gold, and an iron helm upon his shaggy, black-bearded head. In his monstrous hands was the largest war axe Coram had ever seen.
I suspect that you were the one I saved, but you appear to feel no gratitude at all. Whom do I fight?
You fight me. You fight the dwarf Gofannon.
In spite of his danger, Coram found himself grinning in disbelief.
Dwarf?
The she-smith glared at him.
Aye? What's funny?
I should be afraid to meet the ordinary sized men on this island.
I miss your point.
Gofannon's eyes narrowed as he readied his axe and took up a fighting stance. It was only then that Coram realized that the eyes were the same as his own remaining single orb, almond-shaped, yellow and purple, and that the self-called dwarf's skull structure was more delicate than it had first appeared, due to the beard covering so much of it. His face was, in most particulars, a Vardach face. Yet in all other respects, Gofannon did not resemble a member of Coram's own race.
Are there others of your kind in High Braesail?
Coram used the pure tongue of the Vardach, not the dialect spoken by most Mabden, and produced an expression of gaping-mouthed astonishment on Gofannon's features. The smith replied in the same tongue.
I am the only one. or thought so. Yet if you be of my folk, why did you set your dogs upon me?
They are not my dogs. I am Corum Jailin Irse of the Vadic race. This is what controls the dogs, this horn. They think their master sounds it.
With his left hand, his silver hand, Corum held up the horn. Gofanon lowered his axe a fraction.
You are not some servant of the Foy Miore.
I hope that I am not. I battle the Foy Miore and all that they stand for. Those dogs have attacked me more than once. It was to save me from further attacks that I was loaned the horn by a Mabden wizard.
Corum decided that this was a judicious time to sheathe his sword and hoped that the she-smith did not take the opportunity to split his skull.